Hey, what's up, everybody? We're the Tri-State Sports Guys. Apparently, I'm the intro guy now.
You wanted to be the intro guy.
I didn't want to be the segue guy.
Well, I thought you were... That goes hand in hand, dude. You can't just do segues. Everybody wants to do
segues. I'm not
going to
segue from dead air to absolute random of you.
Mike is just staring at you.
He always does this. I'm waiting for you to steal
it. I freeze up. My testicles go outside my body.
You did, dude.
All right, from now on,
I want you to
everyone.
Run the show. I want you to welcome. You're a very welcoming voice.
I'll give a little good morning, Vietnam.
Yeah, that's right. We need something. We need some sort of catchphrase. Well, Neil, I'm happy to be beside you. We got Tony D.
Are you? I don't think you are.
Yeah, I love every moment I get to spend with you on the air. I cherish this 90 minutes we get to spend.
It's not enough.
Chatting. We got a full show today. We're going to hit on some Major League Baseball. We're going to hit on some college football, which... I'm pretty sure if you want to know some college football, like breaking down college football, this is a show to go to.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've got some serious college football fans here. We're going to get into some slow pitch softball. We got a lot going on.
I'm actually more excited about that than I am
got
college
a lot
football.
Going on. We got a lot going on, my dude. But why don't we start off with the NFL?
All right.
We'll get it right out of the way early. Why don't we talk about the Jets a little bit here? As a non-Jet fan, how much of that Carolina Panthers game did you watch Sunday night?
I mean, I disconnected from the world a little bit this weekend. I went up to Lake George in New York. So
was it a brocation?
Was it a brofest?
A brofest?
Yeah. Wasn't exactly a brofest. I mean, unintentionally it was a brofest. Unfortunately,
the whole time we were trying to make it not a brofest.
Yeah.
From the moment we got there.
But I did pick up a little bit of the feedback that Tebow is obviously disappointed with the offense. They still haven't scored a touchdown in the preseason, which I don't know how much that concerns you, but that's, as a non-Jets fan, that's concerning to me that you don't score one touchdown at any
accidentally,
point.
Accidentally, yeah. I'll be honest with you, and you've heard me the last few weeks, I have been pretty negative on the Jets. I'm not overly concerned about that particular stat, to be honest with you. They moved the ball down the field really pretty well, I thought, and they just kept getting stopped. What made no sense to me was... Opening up that game, they go first pass, 25-yard connection to Dustin Keller. No huddle, another 20-yard pass to Patrick Turner. And they're moving down the field. And then they go no huddle, and they go stretch dive for -1, screen pass for -1, and a sack.
Yeah.
Settle for a field goal.
Yeah.
It's like you're opening up, and it's like clearly you have the defense on their heels. What are you doing with a stretch
screen
dive?
Screen pass and a stretch.
Yeah, it's like that's not really – neither of those are really Sean Green's game. You want to give me a stretch dive with even if Joe McKnight in there? But it's like, it just didn't make any sense to me. Like, if that was what your game plan was, to come out firing. And they were nice passes. He caught, Keller in the seam, and he took it up the sideline. And then he, Patrick Turner. And I'm like, this is exactly what they are capable of doing.
You want to give away all your tricks, your bag of tricks in the preseason.
Yeah.
You don't want to show too much. But just to send a message to your fan base that, hey, we're not going to completely suck this year.
Yeah,
especially
at home.
Why not throw out one ridiculous trick play just to say, hey, this is what you're in store for?
Well, that's what I want to get to. So this Wildcat thing here that they're keeping under, complete secrecy here.
The shroud of secrecy.
The shroud of secrecy surrounding the Wildcat. I mean, it's almost like... Rex Ryan is like the coach from the Waterboy with his little magic notebook, and he's drawing up these plays, like with his little afro, and nobody could stop him. And
his high heels.
And Serrano is the little nerdy guy from Little Giants, and he's going to be like, annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, that, what can they possibly do?
They might show those two movies during the blowout at the end, like show clips from those.
I mean, the idea that they're not going to show anything. Once they run some plays against the Bills, it's now on tape. And now, so you're telling me all of this is for the build-up for a home game against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like maybe they're not going to roll them all out and there's some different plays, but I think there is something to practicing it against live defense. You can say whatever you want. I know Mark Sanchez, he always says the right thing about, but he says, well, we're going up against one of the best defenses in the league and we seem to be doing all right in practice. Well, it's completely different playing against your own team than it is playing against another team. So why not show them something? I'm sure it's a whole package. So just show them a little taste of something.
But the fact that your regular offensive scheme is not producing anything.
Yeah, it's worrisome.
The Wildcat can only compensate for so much.
Right.
You know, you look at the Giants preseason, and their first team has looked pretty good. They look like they're in motion. They're in sync.
Yeah, game two, Eli was 7-7 on that drive, 60 yards, touchdown, typical Eli.
Yeah, and I know you don't want to put too much stock in the preseason, but you want to see some kind of chemistry on some level, even if it's your basic vanilla packages, because there was some commentary last week or the week before about defenses not showing vanilla packages, going all out and showing a lot of elaborate stunts and blitzes. And so you might say that for the Jets, say, well, you know, these defenses are running these elaborate schemes that we're not ready for because we're running basic vanilla stuff. But it sounds like an excuse to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the couple good takeaways I would take away, that the new guy, Austin Howard, who came in and filled in for Wayne Hunter, was, to me, light years better than Wayne Hunter, who's now been traded, and we can talk about that in a minute. Granted, he was getting help constantly. They would chip the fullback. They did bring in a tight end to help out, but he was never a problem. There was never somebody coming in, and he shut down a Pro Bowler over there on defensive end. So he did really well. I thought Mark Sanchez, it was as good as he's looked since the beginning of last year. I mean, his stats at the end of the day, he was 11 for 18, 123 yards in the pick. Now, clearly the pick, you couldn't hit a guy more in stride than he hit Stephen Hill. I mean, directly in his chest, and it bounces up for a pick. He had the play before that. He hit Santonio in the face with a pass. He drops that pass. Stephen Hill dropped the ball in the end zone. Not necessarily drop, but, you know, he put it in a place. You know, when you get little windows down in the goal line, that's something that Plaxico was able to do. You're tall. I'm going to put it in a place so you can get it, and he didn't get it. And I worry a little bit about Stephen Hill because I liked the pick when they got it, even though he was a guy that didn't catch a lot of balls, you know, neither did Calvin Johnson so much, you know, at Georgia Tech because they run the triple option, and he's a blocking back. And I said, well, a blocking wide receiver, and I like a blocking wide receiver for the Jets because they like to run the ball a lot, and it'll be good for whatever kind of wildcat they have. But he looks so uncomfortable. He looks, to me, and I'm not just saying this, I'm not trying to be funny, he looks worse than Darius Haywood Bey did as a rookie. You know, like Darius Haywood Bey, they're like, well, he's so fast, but he doesn't look comfortable out there. He just doesn't look, and you can catch as many balls as you want in practice. And Sanchez said, we've thrown more balls to him in practice than he's caught in his entire life. Well, that's a shame because there's nothing you could do to replicate catching a ball in traffic in an NFL game.
Yeah.
And to be learning that at the NFL level when you're being asked to really be, at worst, their number three wide receiver, but I'm sure in the back of their minds they thought they were getting their number two and they would stick Curley in the slot.
It makes me think that they're going to be watching the waiver wire pretty closely and looking for anyone to pick up. I mean, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if they looked at T.O. or something like that. I mean, it's getting to that point where you got to bring in someone who you know can run routes and get open and catch balls despite, you know, his decline in productivity. And, I mean, you got to do something.
The three big names, aging names that are out there, Chad Johnson, T.O., and Plaxico, they've already said they're definitely not getting Plaxico. Tannenbaum said flat out he's not going after T.O., because T.O., clearly, from what everybody said, reports were when they saw him out there, he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't crack the vaunted Seahawks wide receiving core, then maybe it's time to pack it in T.O. So then it comes down to Chad Johnson. They're not going to pick up Chad Johnson because they need a big guy. They're going to get somebody. I mean, Chad Johnson's a lesser Santonio Holmes, in my opinion. You know what I think about Santonio Holmes. So,
I mean, there have to be teams that are just overstocked with wideouts.
Well, this is the cutdowns or what, today or tomorrow?
Yeah.
Where they cut down from 90 to 75, and there's going to be teams that are going to be giving things up. I don't dislike Patrick Turner. I think he's a big body. He seems to catch the ball. He doesn't have, like, you know, electric speed and stuff. But I honestly, he could be a bigger type Jericho Cotchery, which I love. I thought Jericho Cotchery was a great wide receiver for the Jets. But he seems to be able to handle catching balls in traffic. And, you know, he doesn't have the breakaway speed, but they need a guy who could just hang on to the football and watch that game.
Yeah.
But I'm more worried about their running game than anything else. The few times that Sean Green had a hole, he didn't get through it in time before it closed up. Like, you know, a couple times it looks like it was going to develop. He doesn't seem to have that burst.
Yeah, but you can't force the running game. I know that you want to give it its stage time and you need that balance, but you also don't want to force it. You don't want to say, we're ground and pound when you can't even get, you know, 3 yards.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. It's almost like they're trying to force, like I said with that play. Why would they call it? I mean, they move the ball and it's like they want, okay, let's step on the brakes.
Right.
Let's run a stretch dive off tackle here to Sean Green. And you're like, you know, what are you doing? If that's what they're giving it to you and you got a lead, then yeah, maybe pound it. But I don't know. I mean, their offensive line from 3 years ago and 2 years ago with Faneca and Woody and those guys, they were run blockers.
Yeah.
Now, Faneca wasn't the best pass blocker, but even at his old age, he was a hell of a run blocker. They don't seem to have that, other than maybe Mangold. I don't even know how good of a run blocker DeBrickashaw is for all of his Pro Bowls. I don't see him just, like, you know, opening up huge holes like even he did a couple years ago. And maybe he just never was that kind of run blocker, and he's a better, you know, left tackle, protect the quarterback type guy.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like the no huddle works for them, and they're just going to have to do really high percentage passes, you know, short,
yeah,
quick stuff, get on the ball, short,
I mean,
quick stuff.
For all the flack that Sanchez has got, last, you know, he's thrown picks in the last two games. The week before, he was 9 of 11. He did throw a terrible pick, but he was 9 of 11. His completion percentage in the preseason is 68%. Now, you could say, well, it's the preseason. Well, if you're just going to say it's the preseason, then why are you talking about how they don't score?
Yeah.
You can't just look at the negatives and then say any positive they have. I mean, Mark Sanchez looks like a different quarterback to me in the three games I've seen. You know, when he does have time, he still, I mean, he gets into trouble when he hangs onto the ball too long, and he did it once in that first drive and not anymore. I mean, he looked like he was getting rid of the ball quickly. He was making decisive decisions. He was putting the ball right on the receiver's hands. You know, he looked really good last game. It's just they have no weapons. It's like, you know, and there's no lack of arm strength there. He did miss Antonio Holmes on a deep ball, but he overthrew him, which is an embarrassment to Antonio Holmes.
Yeah.
You got a guy that everybody's saying has a below average, you know, NFL arm, and he's overthrowing you on a deep ball. Go out and get it there, Santonio, or quit the team is what I really want. So I don't know. Let's
see. Did Cremart get any snaps?
I did not see him. I didn't watch the whole second half. I'm assuming he wasn't there. I didn't see him get any burn at wide receiver. He didn't catch any passes. So I don't know. I think that was just a myth there that they were going to actually use him.
It's all smoke and mirrors at this point, huh?
The whole thing. The whole thing is smoke and mirrors
but
with,
like,
the Jets right now.
Honestly, you know, if they're going to hold back in preseason, do you think they're going to hold back in, like, the first four games, the first eight
games?
Well,
they have a tough schedule early on. You know, they open up with the Bills. They got some tough games early on. I mean, and that is type of season which, you know, if they go 1-4 in their first five games, and I don't know that they'll be favored in more than two games on their first five games. They go 1-4, then they start, you know, people are going to be calling out Sanchez, even though he's their one, to me, the one guy who has shown any promise.
Right, yeah.
That he's going to be the scapegoat, which is ridiculous. But they didn't do anything to add any weapons for him. Keller got hurt. That guy Baker, like, broke his leg in half. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
Guy still should have caught the ball. Still should have caught the ball.
Yeah.
But I mentioned on Facebook yesterday, you know, Chris Cooley just got cut. Now they're in need of it. They have Jeff Cumberland's their backup tight end. Why not go out and get a guy that you at least know you could line up in that H-back spot, that tight end that's a pass-catching tight end. You know, he's an undersized tight end, but I don't know why you wouldn't add him. I'm sure you can get him on the cheap. I'm sure there's teams that want him, but I think that he would want to sign with the Jets because he knows he's going to have a better role. I mean, you know, he goes play for the Giants or something like that. They're going to be throwing to the wide receivers all day. They got you're under the shadow of the black unicorn. I don't know why he's going to go there, though. You know, I see a better chance to win. But I think that, you know, gives him the opportunity to showcase his talent. I would offer him a contract, you know. Why don't we shift gears over to your Giants? They're playing right now.
Yeah.
We're watching a clock instead. But yeah, they look sharp. Yeah. Man, that David Carr is really swinging it.
They're right on time. I was off the grid this past weekend, so I didn't get to watch much of the Bears-Giants game. But, you know, I think the big takeaway from the game is injuries. Again, you know, Prince Amukamara. High ankle sprain. He was in a boot. He was apparently very optimistic, but I mean, that's the last guy that you want, you know, writhing around on the turf, you know, especially
yeah, right.
when they've already have a depleted secondary. He's kind of like, he was not projected to be the starter, and, you know, they're dropping like flies. And, you know, you asked me last week, am I worried about it? And I was like, yeah, not really. You know, the guys that step up. And now I'm kind of worried about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the offense is going to hold their own, but when you have guys with blood clots and high ankle sprains and, like, ACLs flaring up again, it's like...
It's almost a little reminiscent of last year, though.
Remember the beginning
of last year, the injuries they kept having and amazing, and they got to so suffered amazingly, they were able to recuperate there.
But you have to be confident about the linebacking core. You know,
you are confident about the linebacking core.
I am. I think that, Herzlick has really stepped up. You always have Chase Blackburn, reliable.
Reliable. They brought him back in.
Cut him and bring him back every week if you want to.
Go substitute Chase. We'll call you when we need you, Chase.
Teach during the week, and then you shut him down on
Sunday. He's got a nice setting. He's got to get a pension from New Jersey public schools right now.
Exactly. So, you know, Rivers apparently...
The little Baconator coming up?
Yeah, that was... The beef doesn't interact well with the five-hour energy. I found my secret winning formula, but it's not... They do battle in my stomach. You know, Rivers apparently has been getting good grades, you know, and Bowie apparently is a little dinged up, but I imagine he'll turn it around. So, you know, there's no reason to hit the panic button right now, but.
So what's your biggest concern as a Giant fan? Is it the injuries to the secondary? Is it the lack of an established third wide receiver? Is it the question mark that's Martellus Bennett? A lot of Giants fans are calling, talking about the offensive line. They're petrified about the offensive line, so they keep calling about it. Are you worried about that?
You know, a little bit of me is, because I don't know that they have the depth that they had in years past. Obviously, you had guys step up last year, Mitch Petras, and you know, when Will Beatty went down, they had a couple fill-ins. So I think, you know, a lot of it, I don't know that it rests so much on a third wide receiver. I don't know that you're going to have another Victor Cruz emerge out of nowhere. I think we caught lightning in a bottle last year with that. But so far, you know, Reuben Randall has proven that he's been decent, decent
option. Second round pick, yeah.
Even Ramsey Barton, I know that people are you know, dookieing on him, but, like, you know, he stepped it up last week and had a couple good catches. So
he does get dooted on a lot,
huh? He gets dooted on. Yeah, because I'm telling you, people see him and they think,
Megatron. Burst. Yeah, Megatron.
Not
look
Megatron,
at him.
Plaxico Burst. Like, just don't shoot yourself.
Yeah. You know, the one thing about their offensive line and people are worried about, I mean, the one thing, as much as I, you know, like to poke fun at Eli, he is, to me, the toughest quarterback in the league. Nobody stands in and takes helmets to the chin.
Here's the thing.
And, I mean, my man, it's almost like he's just too dumb to know, like, I shouldn't just stand.
Oh, my foot's broken.
He broke his face against the Jets in a preseason game.
Yeah.
And it was like.
I thought he was decapitated.
His face fell off.
Yeah.
He peeled back. And he just was like, oh, I don't know.
I got to get the chemistry class.
And then he stands in there. It's like.
A lot of people have said, you know, some of that's genes and, like, you know, Peyton doesn't get hurt a lot, obviously, of the injury last year, but.
Peyton doesn't get touched.
Doesn't get touched. But I think part of it is, you know, and everyone makes fun of him for all the faces he makes when he gets hit, but I think it's because it's going to sound ridiculous. He knows how to get hit.
It's like boxers. Some people know how to take a punch.
You know, when Stafford gets hit, he lands square on the shoulder, and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you're done. Like,
yeah,
you just dislocated your shoulder. But when Eli gets hit, he goes, eh, and then he goes to a knee and then kind of crumples awkwardly.
So he's never goes, really... He goes very malleable.
He'll limp. He doesn't go limp.
He plays dead. You ever see, like, one of those little animals if you're watching, and they play dead?
Yeah.
That's what he does. And a big, like, you know, linebacker goes, eh.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I just threw a 40-yard touchdown.
And he's deceptively big. I mean, you look at him in the uniform, you're like, oh, he doesn't look, you know, the sleeves are long or whatever. He looks like a kid, but he's, like, you know, 6'4", 6'5", he's a solid
he's
brain.
He's a big dude. He's a big country boy. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, looking in at the Giants, you know, they're basically bringing back much of the same team they brought back last year, just went to the Super Bowl. You know, a couple of the additions that we just mentioned.
David Wilson, I think, is an upgrade over Brandon Jacobs.
I thought that was the pick of the draft in the first round, I'll be honest with you. You know, I liked the Morris Claiborne pick for, you know, the Cowboys, but I thought that was such a good pick that they got him at 30th or what was it, 31st, whatever it was, 32nd.
Yeah.
He, you know, they get him late, you know, the last pick of the round, and he – you know, he looks explosive. He looks like a guy like he is more explosive than anybody on the Jets roster. And then the Giants just, oh, we'll just grab him. Just put him there. You know, let him run if he wants to run. But
he backflips down the field.
Yeah, it's just we'll just get him. It's no big deal. You know, in the second round, the Jets get Stephen Hill. We'll just get a wide receiver later in the second round, and it'll be better than yours.
Yeah.
That's just the, you know, and we kiss the Mara family a lot, kiss their ass a little out on this show. But they just do such a good job drafting and all that. And I think so, you know, I just feel like when I'm looking at the Giants, I still think they're going to fall short of the playoffs just because, you know, some of that magic that they got, things just even themselves out. I still think they're a 9-17, but that I don't think this year that gets you in. I think, you know, one of those two teams that were disappointing last year was the Cowboys or the Eagles, and I think both of them are going to turn things around.
Yeah.
You know, it, depending on the health of Michael
Vick. Vick has the Kevlar, you know, he's solid.
Well, yeah,
right?
I mean, who's going to touch him, dude? He just goes, ugh. Well, the, you know, the Bills did just get Vince Young, so why don't we transition right over to the Bucks? Oh, no, they got Tavares Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
They cut Vince Young.
It's like lateral, lateral moves. We're big on that.
Yeah, right? They said, we'll take one tall, athletic, non-good quarterback, and we'll just get another one from who's played in the Midwest and out West. Now, Tony D, what are your positives about the Bills? There are teams that are very high on the Bills.
Yeah.
There are, you know, in ESPN, the magazine, picked the Bills to finish second place in the East.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't understand how their thing works, because they show the rankings, and then they have their computer rankings, and they're like, we project them to be 6-10, but second place. So weird. Well, I have no idea how the ESPN, the magazine, is hands down the worst magazine in the world. But what do you like about their team coming forward?
I mean, obviously, you gotta like the defense, the moves that they made in the offseason. The big thing, I'm interested to see how, you know, offensively in the beginning of the season last year, I don't know if they start like 4-1, something like that, 5-1. And they were putting up points. You know, they had that shootout with the Patriots. I don't know if that was week 2 or 3 or something like that. But then you had the Giants. It was a good game against the Giants. But then I guess you find out, you know, late into the season or, you know, in the offseason that Fitzpatrick was playing, you know, he had bruised ribs or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe had a lot to do with it, you know, him underthrowing a lot of balls, throwing a lot of, you know, picks. Just now you had a terrible throw against the Giants, so you say.
Yeah.
Fred Jackson obviously got hurt. The defense I'm not really worried about. It's, you know, hopefully the offense can produce and stay, you know, at that level that they were playing before they had those injuries. And, you know.
You know, Stevie Johnson's a typical diva wide receiver where sometimes it looks like he's ready to be a top 5 wide receiver.
And other times he's dropping touchdowns.
And he's dropping and blaming the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm sure Tebow's going to have words with him in their halftime.
I mean, I like their schedule. It doesn't really look – I mean, they play different teams.
They get to play the Jets twice.
Yeah, they play the Jets twice. I mean, they got Cleveland in there. I mean, they got Tennessee. They got a lot of rookie quarterbacks. They got to play the Colts.
Yeah.
I mean, they got – the schedule doesn't look that bad.
Yeah.
So – I still got him going like 10-6.
10-6,
yeah, maybe,
which is good, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
9-7, 10-6, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that they're going to compete with the Patriots.
Yeah.
But 10-6 is going to be right in that hunt there for the playoffs. And probably if they finish 10-6, they probably if they finish 10-6, it'll probably mean that they went 4-2 in their division. It means they probably lost the two games against the Pats and then swept the other two you know, series. And so you know, I don't know. I would say they're a 500 team, but you know, a few plays here and there changes from between a 6-10 and a 10-6 team. What do you think about any kind of expanded role for C.J. Spiller? Do you think he'll ever be an every down back?
Not with Fred Jackson on the picture.
But I mean, can he be?
Yes, I think
he can.
Yeah, I think.
I don't think he's a Fred Jackson. You know,
no.
I gave you credit for that. You said Fred Jackson was the best running back in the division. I said, right. And then you saw him before he got hurt.
I mean,
he was a Matt Forte, really.
I mean, Spiller looked good. I mean, in the last what, 5 or 6 games of the season, I mean, he did well. I mean, he's great out of the backfield, catching, you know, balls and things like that. But I mean, he's just gonna spell this year. I don't think.
Yeah, no, but that's fine.
Yeah,
in the NFL nowadays, you definitely
need two
running backs.
Yep.
All right.
I'm excited. As excited as I can be for the season.
So give me your prediction on the 3 New York teams. You said 10-6 for the Bills.
Yep.
What do you got for the Jets?
For the Jets, I'm gonna go 6-10.
6-10. All right. And what about the Giants?
The Giants, I'm going to go 9-7 again.
9-7. All right. Neil, what do you got for those three teams?
What was so funny about that?
Well, you called him the Giants.
Yeah, no, I don't like G-Man.
I hear Jai, and I just my mind goes to
a bad place. You're
a bad
place.
A
bad I know a lot, of people call him the Jai Boys. A lot of people call him the G-Man. I like to call him the Giants.
All right. Well, that's nice. Thank you.
I like to do that for you guys. Go ahead. Giants.
The Giants. You know, I think I said 9-7 when I first did predictions. I have them right around there. But I'm going to go 10-6. I think, you know, they've shown a lot of promise. I was a little worried at first that they lost too much and they weren't going to be replacing them, but they look pretty solid so far. So 10-6.
Bills,
I have them going like 8-8, I think.
Yeah. They
you know,
seem to be slowly becoming that cute little pick that people like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like we said either last week or the week before, they're just going to be spoilers. They're going to be heartbreakers down the stretch.
They're going to beat a couple teams that they shouldn't beat, and they're going to lose a couple games. What do you think about the Jets?
Jets, I've lost a lot of optimism for the Jets.
Wow.
I mean, I had them at 10-6 with a wild card berth. And
every
like,
moment, every time that clock gets up on our TV ticks, they're losing another win.
Yeah. I mean, it just looks bad. I mean, they made a good move getting rid of Hunter, but...
So they might get Matt Barkley next year?
I'm afraid to make, prediction right now. I mean, you know, I hate to say double...
They like USC quarterbacks, man.
Yeah, I hate to say double-digit losses, but... Oof.
You guys both saying 6-10?
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Luckily, they gotta catch some freaks. they gotta hope that some of those teams are undefeated.
It's gonna be a roller coaster all season.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have that kind of ebb and flow, but I think down the stretch is where they're gonna lose it.
I'm going quickly here. Giants 8-8. I'm gonna say Bills 7-9. Jets 9-7. None of those three teams make the playoffs, but that's what I got.
Pretty. What are we doing here, then?
Let's just
press skip on this.
I'm game. All about Rutgers football. So I can't wait till we start breaking down some college. Now, Neil, we went 5 minutes over. I'm going to let you handle your business.
Okay. Oh, we'll do a dude. Are
segue.
You serious?
Well, I was going to tell you to segue into baseball. Segue, whatever you want to do, brother. It's your show, dude. I'm just trying to hear
you. So you might press skip on this upcoming NFL season if you're Mike DePalma. But if you're anyone else, you're pressing pause on the Major League Baseball season to reflect on what's to come in September.
We're gonna have to start when we do our little
horrendous. Yeah, I gotta
when we do our like rundown, you know, we put like we'll try to stick this to 20 minutes. Each one of your segues needs like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna have a 2 minute Neil segue. I'll go get a drink.
Yeah.
You know, fix myself a cocktail, check my emails. But I like that one though. It was deep. You're like Steve Summers. You're like the schmooze. You like have a nice monologue.
I just don't have that. Like,
next week, I'm going to let you just do 10-minute monologue by yourself. And it'll just be all an intro segue.
And the Giants.
You are here. All right. So we're going to talk a little baseball?
Sure. Why not?
What do you want to talk about? Now, I think we should start with the Yankees. Lose again today. You get staked to a nice lead with CC Sabathia on the mound against the hapless Toronto Blue Jays.
Hapless. Lost Bautista for the season.
Morrow's missed most of the season. He was looking like an ace. They lost Drabeck. They've lost, you know, all kind of, Brett Lowry's been out for a while. And then, you know, Yankee fans after the game are calling and complaining about the Yankee injuries. Well, I mean, look at the, you know, you just lost 2 out of 3 to a team that had more injuries than anybody in baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to hear that. So, you know, even with their lineup and what, I, you know, sometimes I want to be a defender of Joe Girardi. Sometimes I'm like, what the hell you doing, dude?
Yeah.
I mean, why are you betting Steve Pierce cleanup yesterday? When you, I mean, I don't care. And I hate the lefty-righty matchup.
Yeah.
He loves it. As much as I hate it, he loves it 100,000 times more.
Yeah.
I mean, he honestly thinks a left-handed hitter has zero chance about hitting a left-handed
hitter. Yeah, 1,000%.
I mean, there's no way you could hit it. How could a lefty hit a lefty? It doesn't make any logical sense to Joe. Like
it's
like
physically impossible.
It's like, you know, we'll just roll him up there, maybe throw an elbow out there, Curtis. You know, it's like it's impossible. He bet Steven Pierce cleanup for the New York Yankees, who are in a pennant race in late August.
You might
as
well.
He's got Curtis Granderson hitting sixth. I didn't mean to say that, but sorry, Tim Tebow.
Nah, even God's like, I'll let
even
that
like, why even God's going, Joe, don't make me use my name in vain.
Yeah, he might as well put Guy Pierce at the cleanup spot.
I mean, what are you doing? He couldn't crack it with the Astros.
Yeah.
And the Astros, too, have quite a potent offense.
They have
5-80 since the All-Star break. But
nothing but potential there.
That guy, nothing but 30-year-old potential.
Yeah.
You like to see that.
Yeah.
You like to see a guy who is listed at 7 different positions at the age of 30 years old. Those are the guys you really want to target for your cleanup hitter for the New York freaking Yankees. You tell me that guy ever thought in his life he was going to bat cleanup for the New York Yankees in a meaningful baseball game.
I think Joe Girardi lost a bet.
Yeah.
And, like, owed that dude something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like somewhere along the road, they had a hell of a game of Chinese poker.
Let's just say Joe Girardi and Mrs. Pierce know each other intimately, is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But would take that as you meant.
Yeah.
As my part.
Yeah.
So let's bring it back to the Yankees.
Can't do fisticuffs because I got a mug to maintain. I got to do press conferences.
Listen, why don't you back clean up, Stevie?
Back clean up one night.
Stevie, you could pick dinner tonight. I'll do the dishes, whatever you want, dude. But, So, I mean, is it time? So, there's 3 games up, right? That, you know, with games in action right now. Is it time to panic? We've every week it's like, what do you think?
I don't know. The Rays are looking pretty good.
The Rays are looking good.
I know they lost to the Rangers, but they're playing hard.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the biggest concern for the Yankees is the fact that, you know, Michael Kay threw out the stat last night that they've lost 10 of the last 12 games, one-run games they've lost.
No.
It's not good.
No.
And you're not gonna catch too many blowouts or games in the playoffs where people are up by a couple runs.
Oh yeah,
it's all gonna be tight. It's
well,
all gonna be close.
That's the thing about the O's when they keep saying, well, it's all smoke and mirrors. They've been outscored by ever many runs, but in one run games they're 24-6, and they're like they can't keep that up. Well, I disagree with you. You know, people in New York like to laugh at Buck Showalter for whatever reason. Even though he kind of did bring the Yankees back, he wasn't able to get them there. He gets fired and they win the next year. And he did the same thing out in Arizona. You know, he built the team back up.
Yeah.
And so I think there is a lot to do with that. There is it's a mentality that he sets in that's like, you know, they are not a very good, they're a flawed baseball team, but they win those close games. And when you're this deep into the season, 4.5 months into the season, it's no longer a fluke.
Yeah, and you can play, I think, even though it's at the professional level and these aren't kids, you can still play the David and Goliath angle. You can still play the underdog card.
They bet anybody that's been to Nick Markakis's, the Adam Jones, the guys that have been there a few years, Matt Wieters coming to the system. You know, the Yankees are the guy. You know, this series this weekend is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of young, talented guys that have just been, just chomping at the bit to play the Yankees. Now, they're down 5-0 right now, but the Rays are winning. So we could be looking at a three-way tie, I believe, going into this weekend's game. And then the Yankees have 9 games against teams that they're competing with. So
and I don't know the history. I'm not a doctor, but strained calves are kind of a nuisance. Right?
Yeah.
They don't just go away. It's something that you got. It's going to linger. It's like a hamstring almost.
Yeah.
So I don't.
That's a much bigger blow than the A-Rod thing.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
You know, I know people. He was down. He was sick in the beginning of the year, but his defense is so good.
Yep.
And you know, he still has those games where he just explodes. He was on pace for another 30 and 100 season. You know, his average is down and all, but
and he does. He's probably one of the most clutch hitters on the team, other than maybe Jeter. I guess.
Again, I don't know the stat, but I feel like most of his home runs are in the latter part of the game.
Yeah, when they need runs.
Yeah.
You know, he's not pulling off A-Rod numbers where it's already out of reach and he's hitting home runs. I mean, I just feel like that's going to be the huge blow. You know, Nova going on the DL, and then, of course, Derek Jeter taking PEDs. That's not cool.
Well, he's on steroids. We don't even need to – we could just go right over that. Derek Jeter's on the roids.
Yeah.
You know, you look at – you know, the injuries they've had, and you look at, you know, Andy Pettit, people are still thinking Andy Pettit's going to come back and be great. I mean, they were thinking from the beginning he was going to be back September 1st. Clearly that's not the case. We're a couple of days away. I think he's got another one or two, you know, he's going to have a couple of starts. He just started throwing off the mound, I believe.
Yeah.
He was on a flat ground last week. I think, you know, so you're going to maybe get 2 starts out of him in the three starts in the regular season. And you're going to and I'm sure they're going to limit his pitch count in those starts. And they're just going to roll him out there game 2 of the playoffs. Or if they're a wild card team, game 1 of their, and they have, you know, they're gonna have to go CC. They're gonna throw him out game 1. He's gonna have to pitch 2 big games in that first round. You know, I think that the Yankees, and I had predicted them before the season as my bold predictions, they weren't gonna make the playoffs. And then I looked like an idiot when they were 10.5 games up in July. But now you look at it, and it's just like things are coming. You know, you could say this is bad luck because they have these injuries. Well, you know what? When your third baseman's 36 years old and is a recovering steroid addict, he's gonna come. I mean, granted, it was a weird injury that he got hit by a pitch, but he's gonna come down with some injuries. You know.
Well, they do the enhanced. They do the.
You're in here for some steroids.
The PEDs or whatever steroids, they do make your bones brittle, more brittle.
Is that right?
Yes, that's a fact.
They got some real consequences with that
stuff. Yeah, dude. Least of which is the shrinking of the testes.
The second time you've said testes on the show, we're only 20 minutes.
Testicles. No, it's totally different.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
I gotta clean my ears out. All right. Well, I mean, 2 references to the junk, which I like about you. You just, you know, it's like a theme.
I keep it right in the triangle
just
of doom.
Just like when the schmooze has a theme for his monologue, today's theme for just the
ball.
Just straight junk, which I like. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much of a surprise here. And you look at, you know, CC Sabathia, he's always been a workhorse, but now he's had 2 DL stints. You know, it was bound to happen. The guy's 280 pounds. And, he, you know, you're going to get hurt. He's had a ridiculously healthy career.
What are your thoughts on, and, you know, I'm going to sound like a jackass, but whatever, Derek Lowe coming out of the bullpen and being a spot starter? Is that someone that you can turn to and give you, like, five innings?
No, he was terrible for the Cleveland Indians. I think his career is over. I think that the people that thought he was going to, you know, the Yankees do have the great ability to bring in these aging guys like an Eric Chavez, like, you know, Bartolo Colon, or even Freddie Garcia, who has given him. And I think that they think that we just have this magic. Now, I think that Derek Lowe is clearly done. I think he's been done. He was done when he got to sign that big contract with Atlanta. I think he gave him one good year. He went to Cleveland, and then Cleveland was had high hopes on him, and he was horrible. If you get clubbed by the Cleveland Indians, it's not like you could just flick a switch. The guy, to me, he's done. You know, granted, his throwing the ball away the other night was you know, not a pitching thing, but he was still letting people on base. You know, it's like he's not able to get out of those jams. The guy gets over to third base.
So what do? They go to a Colorado Rockies rotation?
Four-man,
five-man, three innings each.
And then that little backup guy or whatever it was, you know, they worked against the Mets.
Yeah.
They dominated the Mets with that thing. They were just baffling them. Yeah, I don't know, man. They play a lot of games in the short amount of time. It's like they have a lot of off days to sit there and give guys, you know, and try to go four-man when they can. They're going to need five starters with Nova out, you know, with Pettit not being back for September 1. I'm telling you, it's going to be a hard row. It's going to be tough for them. They're going to need Jeter, Cano, and Granderson. And to me, the key is Granderson because he's been bad. Curtis Granderson's been very bad. Curtis Granderson's hit .236 going into today. Granted, he's got big home run numbers, but he seems just lost up there. It seems like, you know, in that first half of the first season, he was with the Yankees, and they were started to like sit him against lefties at some point. And then they gave all the credit to Kevin Long. He fixed his swing, a couple tweaks here and there, and he had a great second half of that year and a great year last year. It seems like he's back to that first half of his first season as the Yankees to me. And I watch more Yankee games than Mets games now. And I'm worried about him because if he's not, you know, the Curtis Granderson that they thought they had for the rest of the season, you know, you can only rely on Eric Chavez and Nix and Pierce and McGee and Fat Andrew Jones so much. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they still got a good core of those, you know, Cano, Granderson, Jeter, Swisher, but those guys all got to perform. You can't have one of those cogs being completely non-existent, in my opinion. So I don't know. I mean, we don't really need to talk about the Mets much. I don't think they're on a ridiculous hot streak right now. I mean, they still are not mathematically eliminated. So I, you know, my dad is watching the game right now down in Florida because he doesn't miss a game. He loves it. He's not giving up.
I brought this up earlier today.
They're winning 3-2.
Yeah, of course.
Well, of course they're winning.
Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah, here they come.
So I was ready to actually just give up on the Mets all together after that the Rockies swept them four games in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
Using that rotation and especially after that ridiculous last game where they lost 1-0. We'll get into that later. But, you know, I think Colin McHugh looked good. I know it's not a vaunted Rockies lineup, but he could have gone out there and got shelled or he could have
– he had to strike out nine guys.
Nine guys.
The
you
second
know.
Most in Mets history for
and
a
then they sent him down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for coming. You know, the organization's goal is to finish third. I think that will be an accomplishment. But here's the thing that I want to point out to people, and I know it's a rare occurrence, but the St. Louis Cardinals were 9.5 games back of the wild card at this point last year.
Yep, you're right.
So even if the Mets don't make a run, and the Phillies, you know, even though they lost last night, they're losing again today.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies are, and I said this before, they're still a dangerous team. You know, I wouldn't be completely shocked if they just go off on a tear and someone collapses like the Nationals. The Nationals
lost five in a row.
They swept the Phillies swept the Nats, and so you know I don't think the Braves are due for another collapse, but I think the Nats are primed for a collapse.
And I think it all has to do with the Strasburg thing. I'm telling you right now.
Oh yeah,
I think that's the thing. It's a clubhouse killer. When we talked about it 2 weeks ago, I said this is the stupidest thing to do for a young clubhouse to just say you guys played real hard, but we're going to take our number one starter out because we have some genius, trainer who knows that after 160 innings, and, you know, it's getting into his head now. He went out and got shelled. He gave the most runs he's given up in a start in his career last night. I mean, I would love for them to miss the playoffs just to prove those
just
stupid people wrong.
Yeah.
Just so you don't do this. This is a gift that you've had this kind of run. You can't.
You don't see dynasties anymore. That teams that just rattle off championship after championship anymore.
No, it was supposed to be the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was supposed to be the Phillies. They've won one World Series with this team. You know, you look at the Rangers. The Rangers right now should be a dynasty. They're 0-2 in their two World Series, and you know people like them, but I don't think people are just saying they're theirs to lose. You know,
yeah.
I don't know that they're even the favorite to win the AL. You know.
Yeah.
Sticking with the Nationals, at just one point, and it's more of just like a frustrating thing with me. Can people stop comparing Bryce Harper and Mike Trout?
Oh, there's no contest.
Bryce Harper's hitting .248 with 12 home runs.
Yeah.
That's Lucas Duda numbers. I mean, I don't care what you want to say. He was hot in the beginning. He's got 37 extra base hits. He's made some great plays in the outfield. But he looks like a rookie. He looks like a guy who's got potential.
Yeah.
He looks like a rookie. I could see him in 2 years, 3 years being a perennial all-star. He's not there now. He's playing like a rookie. He's not playing like a 19-year-old phenom.
Well,
he's at .248.
With that said, they threw out a stat the other day about he's one of four 19-year-olds to hit 10 or more home runs in a season, I think. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. I think one guy crapped out the next year or whatever, but...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, he's still in slow
company. Lumen Tejada's 22, guy's hitting 300.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was what it is. I mean, when you look at Mike Trout, he's doing things that nobody's ever...
He doesn't have teen angst.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't think about teen angst. You remember when you're 19...
He's not over there trademarking phrases, you know? You got to think about it. You got to deal with that, and you got to trademark phrases.
Yeah.
You got to scour the internet. You got search engines, Google.
He's a lawyer.
You got Google alerts coming in.
Yeah.
If anybody says clown question, he's got to call a lawyer and be like, "Listen, dude, you got
to." I don't understand how the media doesn't get together and go in cahoots and just ask all clown questions
just so
from here on out.
Yeah, every one of my questions. When we get him on our show,
clown questions.
Everything's gonna be clown questions. All right, seriously, no more clown questions.
We're actually gonna invite a clown onto the show to ask the questions.
And every time you hear, but I mean that compares. I mean Mike Trout is so unbelievable.
Oh,
without
yeah.
Mike Trout. The Angels are...
They wouldn't be in the position they're in now.
And they're not even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Without him, they would have never got out of that beginning funk. They would not be where they are, and they're even not in the play. I mean, they're on the outside looking in by a long shot right now. So, just a frustrating thing. I'm going to do a quick segue over to your days segment. Dude,
okay.
Are you serious? I love it. We got rave reviews on it.
Oh, yeah?
So, I want you to hit it up. From now on, no, my one suggestion... I don't even want you to email me. I want you to just hit me. I want to hear it live.
Just raw.
I just want to hear it and be like...
Slap you across the face.
Whoa, what is Neil talking about?
You don't know what you just dialed up, my friend.
Yeah, oh boy. Joey's got to get a dump button ready. But, yeah.
Hope you like body parts.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by your junk. Go ahead, Neil. What do you got? Dude, are you serious?
This guy, Phil Mushnick, I don't know if you know him. He's a
horrible person.
Media personality.
Yep, hates Boomer and Carton.
Yeah, he has some thoughts on black uniforms. You know, as of, I think, the 2000s, you know, the Mets, they went to an alternate black uniform.
Yeah.
We see a lot more teams going to it. He believes that the reason these organizations are going to black uniforms is because of the gangster demographic. The gangs, the troubled urban youth.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, honestly.
Because
there's a lot of stupid things. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, and if he knows anything, it's the blue and the red that you should be worried about.
Yeah.
The Giants, the Patriots.
Yeah.
Those are teams you got to worry about getting stabbed.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
Kansas City Royals, Crypt Killer.
Crypt Killer.
I watch a lot of Gangland, dude.
Yeah.
I never see anybody wearing a Mets alternate. Jersey. Oh, you see a group of guys walking in with a Met alternate jersey on. You turn the other way.
Yeah.
Or just hand them your wallet.
You better cross the street, my man.
Yeah, exactly. You see that group of kids with red hats on? Yeah, maybe I turn around. Maybe I wait for the next light.
Yeah. Little does he know, it's because they want the athletes to look slimmer.
Yeah, people are fat now.
Yeah. Talk about it. Chubbs McGee.
Yeah, people are fat. There's a thing called a triple baconator.
Yeah, all these protein bars. They got a lot of high fat content.
Yeah. People are fat. People like to wear the black jerseys. Very thinning.
Agreed.
Everything should be black and vertical stripes.
Agreed.
Agreed.
So one thing that I've always said is that my dog, Ozzy, is black. He has black fur.
Gangster.
So that's my segue. That's a pretty half-assed segue.
That's a great segue. Don't say yourself short, Neil. That's a great segue.
My dog is black.
Speaking of that, I like to see where it goes, though.
Speaking of dogs, do you like dogs?
Not a big dog guy.
Not a big dog. I know you have a couple cats.
Yeah, I had a dog growing up. I liked my dog because it was fat and just sat around.
Yeah.
I don't like dogs that jump and bark and all that. I just like sitters. I like the big, like, you know, dogs that just want to sit there and you kind of rub their ears a little bit.
Well, then you would have probably enjoyed San Francisco Giants promotion, Dog Days.
Okay.
Where fans could bring their dogs to the ballpark.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Would have loved that, yeah.
That?
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
That's terrible.
That's going to be like WrestleMania for dogs.
Imagine. Listen.
I get pissed off when people bring a dog to their pet store.
Yeah, right. Crapping all over the place.
I hate it when they bring them to the dog park. That's my place to shine.
Yeah. I mean, if a dog sees a dog from like three blocks away, they want to eat that dog.
Yeah.
And so their whole mind is like, I need to eat that dog.
I need to either hump that dog or destroy that dog.
Yeah. I'm going to try to, if that humping doesn't work, I'm going to destroy him.
Yeah, like, forget fighting. How about all the illegitimate puppies that are going to be
having
out of that
thing? Oh, my God, yeah. He should have been handing out condoms.
I didn't even know how they had a game.
Yeah. He should have been wearing little
dog
ribbons.
Little rubber ribbons.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
You know what else is a terrible idea? Having Ryan Lochte's sister talk.
2 for 2 on your segues. Oh. I like it. I just saw the thing. I didn't click on the link.
What an idiot.
Yikes.
But she was doing it to prove a point.
Yikes. Well, that's the theory. And
what is she doing on television? What is her?
That's the first thing.
I mean, the guy's a swimmer.
Yeah.
Not even the best swimmer.
Now, this is from 2008, the show.
So why
this
was
after she went to Beijing.
Was she a swimmer?
No, she just, well, she's a hanger-on. She's a groupie.
But was she famous in 2008? Enough where his sister can get a show? I mean,
I'm pretty sure.
We have an extremely successful radio show. I'm rubbing two sticks to try to get on it. And she's on something because her brother's a good swimmer somewhere.
I think it was like a recruitment trip. You know how like you, as a senior in high school, you get to go to the college and just like check it out. Like
I didn't get interviewed.
He was just checking out the Olympics, see if he wanted to join the U.S. team, I think.
Okay. And so she?
So she gets invited on the show. Apparently, I think she was a regular. And she breaks out... I don't even know if we can say it on the air, but say you're a knight and you wear armor.
Yeah.
And you get a little ding in the armor. Some people call it a ding. Some people call it
something else. Because they'd say it at the Knick games. They would say another drink in the armor every time Linsanity happens.
All right,
we're making fun of it. So yeah. We can say it. It's not like we're condoning it. We're saying it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Megan Lochte had a chink in the armor. She had several chinks in the armor.
She
apparently.
Said it like 40
she
times.
She said it at least 40 times. Broke out every stereotype in the book. And then someone discovered it, brought it to everyone's attention. She says, I'm just playing a character, a racist character.
Because she's so well-known. Yeah. She goes on. You know how like Brian Wilson plays his little characters when he goes to the ESPYs, he goes in with Chewbacca or Bigfoot or whatever it is. Rachel Lochte, what's her first name?
Megan Lochte.
Megan Lochte. It's such a household.
Rachel is a saint, by the way.
Yeah,
Megan, though.
Rachel is
the
good.
She's the black sheep.
Yeah. So she's on this show. She's got it. She's going, hey, everybody knows me.
Yeah.
I'm so good.
Yeah.
That I've got this ironic...
Everyone understands my
ironic
sense of humor.
I have this ironic racist character.
Yeah. Everybody just laughs it up.
Everybody. I mean, I'm huge.
In China.
Yeah. I'm huge down in Chinatown. They love me. Because they get me. What an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm done with them. That's back-to-back weeks we talked about the Lochte family.
They're not going away. No. There are a lot of people who think that they're trolling us. Do you know what trolling means?
No.
All right, so I feel like I'm teaching you. We should have a segment where I teach you internet stuff.
Yeah, man, I don't know any of that. I don't know what. What was the last week?
Meme. And now we're trolling.
Trolling is like when you go onto blogs and you make
just make inflammatory comments to get a reaction.
Oh, so it's like a Republican.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, now you just say that. Okay, I got it.
You're Republican-ing.
Okay, got you. I got you. Now I'm with you. Okay, go ahead.
A lot of people think that's what the Lochtes do. They just troll people.
Because they're so hip.
Because they're so hip to be square. And it's like, there's more to life than trolling, Mike. I've been there. I went through a trolling phase. It didn't turn out well.
It was called the 2000s. Yeah. I turned up on the Tri-State Sports Cup.
Yeah.
You had a promising career, and that's how we scooped you up.
Yeah, I'm like Jimmy the Greek over here. It didn't work out.
It did.
So,
racist?
That's pretty. Yeah, I guess that's racist. Jimmy the Greek's racist.
Yeah, he was.
But the Greeks were known to be a sexual.
They did. They enjoyed
a sexual, not race. Is that a race?
Greeks. No, it's an ethnicity.
Ethnicity. There's sexual ethnicity.
Yeah.
This next story. Has a fair amount of sexuality to it. Apparently, there were some Ball State football players who were arrested for trying to steal pills.
The Little blue pill?
Little blue pill. The male enhancer.
And that's why you're such a good as the new like main host. The whole show, you've been making sly little references to your testicles, your junk, and then we climax with a ball state thing about the little blue
ball
pill.
Ball state.
That's why I like you, man. That's why you did a good job.
To say that I'm in a slump right now is an understatement.
Yeah?
I got it on the brain right now. And I need to get whoever's out there is willing to help
me
out.
We do very well in the female demographic.
Yeah. All two of you, I smell a sandwich. That's
the only two ladies listening to the show are my mom and your mom. So I don't think that's going to work out for you.
Yeah, my mom's trying to hook me up with Missy May.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Missy May. I'll beat up her husband. And that's And let's get back to Ball State. So now they're stealing the pills?
Stealing the male enhancement
pills.
From
old people?
Yeah,
just
pretty sure.
Bursting into houses. Yeah. I play football, Ball State.
No, they got invited to a Playboy Mansion party, I guess, and just like went into Hugh like guns blazing. No, I don't know. All I know is this is like the new thing though, where you're in your, you know, 20s, early 20s. You're just in college, and you probably don't need help there.
No, I don't think so. Nope. I wouldn't think they would, and they need to.
Or they just came across some real bad girls and just wanted to just...
Yeah, I don't know what to tell them. That ball.
That's true.
What state is that college in?
I think it's like Kentucky, maybe.
My guess was going to be Kentucky, but maybe our crack research team over here.
Maybe it's Indiana?
Indiana.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah, that can't be
good. Yeah, because all the hot chicks go to Indiana, right?
Yeah. They are, the Hoosiers. You go to those Hoosier games.
Yeah, as a girl, you want to... Hey, you know, where are you going? Ball State.
Ooh. Oh, remember?
I mean, a team that looks like Louisville? Why didn't you go to Louisville?
Yeah. I don't know.
Too ugly.
Yeah, too ugly. I heard that you guys got a connection with the blue pill.
Yeah. And so, finally... Well, I got five. Why not? We'll do a couple more.
Why not?
There is a minor league football player who goes by the name House. Now, he's not a medical doctor.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about him being crippled or taking pills to overcome his pain. He is 6'11", though.
He's a football player.
The minor league football player is 6'11", 5 hundo.
Oh, I saw the highlight. The headline of this. 6'11", 5 hundo. And what position does he play?
I think he's quarterback.
he could sling it. He remember the hefty lefty?
He runs the option mostly,
play for Kentucky? Okay.
I mean, if you're the Jets, do you give this guy a call, give him a ring?
Why not?
Let's put him on some Jenny Craig and have at it.
They've got the annexation of Puerto Rico in their back pocket. If you remember, it all started with that fat center who just put the ball on the ground and inhaled it in his belly. This guy puts a ball in his belly. He'll wait there 4 minutes. He'll be out there running, and then he just starts taking off. Going, remember the kid was running? He couldn't run very well.
Or, if you remember Necessary Roughness, this is the movie now, not the TV show.
Yeah, it was.
So, remember the big fat Samoan dude?
Yeah.
Manu the Slender.
He caught the interception and rumbled for a touchdown. I mean, that's got it. The Jets will score at least one touchdown this year, and it'll be this fat House.
It'll be the House.
Recovering something going.
I will tell you right now. If you think the Jets signed Tim Tebow to sell jerseys, if this guy got signed every and most of Giant Stadium during Jet games is fat people, they would have House jerseys, and he would be the. It'd be more than the Joe Klecko jersey you see everywhere. It would be they'd have it in the Titans alternate jersey, maybe even the black alternate jersey because it's slimming. You would have so many House jerseys. They should do it just for that. If that's all they care about, selling jerseys.
And you have to. Does it have to stop at 99? Can you go to 100? The jersey numbers?
Can you bring that dude
Make
in?
An exception.
Get the guy.
Biggest dude in history.
5 hundo. That's what I put on it. Right? 5 hundo. Checking into the game. Would he have to get, like, he has to announce himself as eligible because he'd have a weird number?
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't even have a number. It's just a picture of a house. And he's like, House, now reporting eligible.
It's a holding.
Holding on House. Playing with house money? Nah, it's not.
No, I liked it.
No. We had, so if you were to guess, if you were to go into Oregon and play in Oregon's house, and you're UCLA, do you think you would win?
UCLA playing at Oregon?
In Oregon's house.
No.
No. Well, according to AP, UCLA upset Oregon 21-20 already.
What?
The AP ran a story
saying that UCLA upset the Oregon Ducks 21-20 in newspapers. So this is not like the internet where you can just be like, oops, delete.
How's something like that happen?
Error page 404, sorry. No, this is like papers. This is like people who don't want the internet, like old curmudgeons are like, I don't like the internet. They get this paper, and say you're a UCLA fan. Yeah, it's probably Bob Walton, you know? He doesn't like the internet. And opens up the paper, he's like, oh my God.
You know how many little hipsters in LA walking around at some coffee shop and still
wilding out?
They get the paper because they're so like anti, like,
they see Ducks fans and they're just like rubbing it in their face.
Yeah. They got their skinny jeans on, they got their little latte, and they're holding the paper under their arm and they're just showing it in people's faces.
They had a whole story. They had a whole story.
Like plays and what happened.
They had a guy named Bob Jones, doesn't exist.
Wait, you just can't be
I swear.
How did this happen?
Did you swear on house?
Can you put this on
house?
Well, now you're serious. On the junk episode, you swear on it?
I swear I'm a junk. Yeah. And Bob Jones doesn't exist through the last minute touchdown.
He pitched for the Mets.
Yeah.
He was good.
Somebody got fired from that.
Wow. Somebody got fired. That, you know what? I think somebody was trolling.
Yeah.
So there you go, guys.
It's probably Megan Lochte.
I think the Lochte family. Yeah. It probably was Rachel Lochte. We thought she was a saint.
Well, we all know. You remember the UCLA girl that was racist against the Chinese, against Asians?
That was the UCLA chick? I remember the...
I think her and Megan Lochte paired up and ran this story.
Yeah. Well, you don't like Asians? Well, I don't like Asians. How can we team up?
How can we make UCLA be the bomb?
Yeah. Anything else?
I guess one more.
Give us one more.
Former Fighting Irish star and current broadcaster Alan Pinkett. Never heard of him.
Oh, Al?
This is
AP.
A Pink?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Says that Notre Dame needs more criminals on the team.
He didn't say that.
I mean, it's a quote.
Unless the AP ran it. This has got Lochte written all over it, too.
A few bad citizens, he called them.
You bad. It's going to be part of your Say What?
Yeah.
It's going to be a good segue into the Say What.
Go ahead.
Well, let's segue that right into the Say What, so why don't you break it down?
So he says, this idiot says, I've always felt like to have a successful team, you got to have a few bad citizens on the team. I mean, that's how Ohio State used to win all the time. They would have two or three guys that were criminals. That just adds to the chemistry of the team.
I mean, you watch that 30 on 30 about the U. That's exactly what they
did. Yes, exactly. Well, that's, you know, I was watching PTI today. We were talking about Wilbon brought that up. He goes, this isn't Miami where you have, you know, people getting arrested here. This is Notre Dame. You have people, like, graduating top five in the country.
Yes,
like,
it is. It's like a notch below. It's like Stanford. It's just below the Ivy League.
Yeah, I mean.
And if all people choose Notre Dame over Ivy League school, and you just want to be like, well, we got to just gangster this up a little bit. Are we going to see Notre Dame black jerseys this year?
You got to go all black at this
point. Then Mushnick will be like, I told you. Now they've bought into the Mushnick.
They got to go any giving Sunday with the Sharks. Just
and
black
somebody out. Loses an eye.
Yeah. Make the field black.
I would do the whole thing. I'd murder the whole thing out. That's what I would do. I mean, I'm a Notre Dame fan. Maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to unveil that in Ireland.
And then you make like a shiv night. Like bring your own shiv. Bring it back.
You do that. You're like, what? This is South Bend. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
How about
touching on Jesus, just holding gaps?
This ain't Rudy Rudiger's Notre Dame, my friend.
Rudy Rudiger. How about Kevin Durant calls the Lakers the best team on paper? What do you guys think?
On paper, they're the best team in the West. I still would put the Heat above. I mean, they have a top 3-point guard or whatever article you posted the Heat.
Oh, my God. That was my next one.
But you know what? That's why I like Kevin Durant, though, man. That's why he's my favorite player in the NBA. That's what he does. Well, they're the best team on paper, just deflecting everything.
Yep.
Even though they got three superstars at four, if you want to, you know, include Ibaka and what his role is.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, yeah, they are the best team on paper. Let him do that.
Man,
he doesn't want anybody looking at Oklahoma City.
Yeah, you're
he
exactly
is the
right.
I mean, nobody's bad. I can't say a bad thing about Kevin Durant.
Nope. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with Harden, man. I'm getting more and more nervous about this.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to let him go, man.
Yeah, it looks like it, but he choked too, though, for you guys.
Yep. Yeah. So Chalmers says he's in the higher end of the top 10 of point guards. What do you guys think about that?
You know what?
I mean, what?
Last year we laughed at Eli Manning when he said he's elite. Maybe this time next year we're going to be like, remember when we laughed at Mario Chalmers? We didn't think he was elite. I mean, a guy could hit a 3-ball.
And you know what? He has the support of his teammates. I know there was a lot of commentary during the finals about them giving him a lot of
guff.
Guff.
I hate using that word.
I love it. I try to use it as much as I can.
I've never even heard of it.
But it's, you know, but
I never heard of trolling or meme.
But
I'm gonna get you on to like really yuppie things to say, and you give me hipster things to say like trolling. Go ahead.
But, you know, the reason they claim the reason they gave him so much guff was because they believe in him. And they think he's going to be great. So
I think he's good, man. I do like Mario Chalmers. I think that I told you he could hit a big jump shot. They kept talking about they needed to add a shooter. He could be that shooter. He's not the type of point guard like a Rajon Rondo, though, that would really – but I don't think they need that kind of guy. They don't need a distributor on the team. They got playmakers. So I think he is the right fit for there. I don't think like a guy, if they bring in like a Jason Kidd to that team, I don't think it helps them. I'll be honest. It's not like, you know, I so
he ain't the top echelon.
Coop texted me, Chalmers is poor.
Coop's still angry they got rid of Iguodala over there in Philly. He doesn't know what to do with Iguodala jersey.
About
Coop, we'll take it. We'll recycle it. It's probably black too. All murdered out.
How about LeBron James wants a role in Space Jam 2?
Are they making a Space Jam 2?
I hope not.
Is R. Kelly involved in some sort of stuff? If they get R. Kelly and Brown to team up, I like Space Jam. You're a Space Jam fan?
So do I, but it's like something you should leave alone.
Yeah,
it's
you
like
don't
Friday,
need to go there.
You know,
it just looks
Friday,
like Caddyshack 2, boy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. I like Space Jam a lot. I don't need to see Space Jam 2.
I get it, yeah.
Because you know what? It'll be Usher singing some song.
Usher. I like how you put the Usher.
And it'll be, what's his name? It'll be LeBron. LeBron is not Michael Jordan, dude.
No, he won one ring,
all of a sudden he's Michael Jordan.
Ugh, unbelievable. Real quick, you got Penn State banned Sweet Caroline. You heard of that?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
You hear why?
Well, yeah, it's about touching.
You care? Touching?
I don't care. You know, any kind of touch. The iPod Touch, that's not allowed on there.
Nothing.
Nothing.
One last thing, we'll finish up real quick with the Jets. Merrill Hodge, who just hates Tim Tebow.
That dude can't even turn his neck.
Yeah, he can't. You got it correct.
Go ahead, Merrill.
He says, at this point, I would not think it far-fetched to move him to running back. With Tim Tebow, I know they're going to pull out the Wildcat, but right now they need power football. Move him to running back, establish that. He's a big and strong, powerful guy. His heart is a 10. I think he should be a guy who should get some carries.
I'm telling you right now, I genuinely think that this whole Wildcat thing, like they're hiding it, I think it is lining him at running back. Because if it was just the same running, the same Wildcat that Sperano ran in Miami, then it is on tape.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I said when they got him, they have to find ways to get him and Sanchez involved at the same break, you know, in the huddle at the same time. They can't just have Sanchez come running off the field because then you know. I think that he could be a running back. The idea that everybody keeps saying they should make him a tight end is a joke because you're not going to teach a guy who's never blocked before how to block.
Yeah.
That there's so much technique involved. There's strong guys that are terrible blockers. I'm sure Wayne Hunter benches 480 pounds. He can't block for anything.
Yeah.
So it's not you could just tell a guy who's never blocked in a meaningful game in his life, I'm going to teach you how to run block. I'm going to teach you how to pass block, which you have to do as a tight end. But he could be a running back, man. I'm telling you, he could be a right. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And, you know, linebackers aren't going to come crashing up to get him because they're going to think he's going to throw, you know. I could see that being this tricky thing that they do where it's literally just we're going to line Tim Tebow up and, I mean, run in between the tackles. I think he could be a running between the tackles guy.
Yeah, he's done it. He's done it in the preseason so far where you think it's clogged up and he's still manages 3 or 4 yards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He runs that little veer option sometimes where he keeps it and follows the fullback up in there. You know, I think he could do that. So I think I do think there's going to be times when he's in the backfield, not under center, and some of it'll be decoy. I think that he'll be good enough to pass block from the running back position where you're just, you know, I think he could do that. That's different than being an active blocker on the line. I think that's a great call. I think that's what his role really is going to be. I think he's going to get 8 to 10 carries, and half of those carries are going to come getting the ball handed off to him or pitched to him. I do think that.
All right.
How many touches do you think? I know they said what, 10 to 15.
Yeah, it's a 10 to 15 plays.
Plays.
Yeah.
But I think you got to give him 10 to 15 touches where he's got the ball and he's running with it.
I mean, I think you pointed out earlier that you know the maybe it wasn't some you know we talked about you know the Wildcat like you know your offense has to be when you're running the Wildcat it means something's wrong with your traditional offense. So I think that if they do have to resort to having him have 10 to 15 touches, that means their traditional regular set of offense isn't working. But I do think they want him to be involved, You know, I think the 10 to 15 plays will give him, you know, 7 to 10 touches a game. If he's getting more, that means that the rest of the team isn't doing well. But that does give them that little advantage. Like, okay, if what we have is not working, if Stephen Hill doesn't figure out how to catch the ball, if, you know, Santonio Holmes is now just an old curmudgeon who doesn't make plays, if Dustin Keller is going to have nagging injuries or whatever, then we still have to figure out a way to move the ball, and then they will get that. But I don't think that going into the season they want him to have to do 10 to 15 plays because that means all their other weapons aren't working.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that's my little spiel there. Let's transition over quickly to the top 10. We don't need to spend a ton of time on the top 10 because I'll be honest, I'm not a huge college football guy, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were said we got to do a top 10 based on college football, and I thought it was a very good idea, and then you came up with top 10 ranked teams. I think you just said they're going to suck or that are going to be out of this.
Suck.
What did you say?
I mean, there's a couple ways you can interpret that. One is that they'll absolutely lose to the point where they're not ranked anymore. So I have a lot of the teams fall into that category.
Yeah.
But then there are some teams that are ranked that are just going to they're just going to be awful to watch.
Yep.
If that makes any sense, you just don't want to tune into them. You know, it's a ranked team, and they're going to win, but they're going to win in ugly fashion, or that it's not going to be something you're probably going to fall asleep watching them. So,
all right, well, go ahead.
That was the gist of that bit.
Go ahead. Well, give me your top 10, brother.
All right. Well, let's start off with a team that actually was not ranked on the AP poll.
Yeah.
But it made the USA Today coaches poll, and it made the ESPN power rankings, and that's Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Okay.
USA Today, they had him at 25. ESPN, I believe, had him at 24. They did not make the AP poll. But, I mean, every year with the Fighting Irish, right?
They always have a top five recruiting class. Every year.
Every year.
They got 17 blue chippers.
Yeah. You know, and they have a...
And I'm a Notre Dame fan. I like Notre Dame. They're my favorite college football team.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Only because they were always on TV growing up.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, UConn was 1AA. I never watched UConn. You know, I wasn't going to be a BC guy. Like, what am I going to watch up north? And they were on every week.
They were. 30,
so I always watched them.
But that was also when we were young, that was during their heyday. They had Jerome Bettis, they had Rick Meyer.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
they were good.
They were actually winning games.
I didn't watch them. I mean, the last national championship was in the late 80s. I wasn't watching them back then.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the 90s, they were good.
You weren't watching Tim Brown?
I mean, I remember him. But I'll be honest, on a Saturday, I was mostly out trying to get my wiffle ball in the fall.
Yeah.
Work on my knuckleball.
I was too busy getting concussed at age 8.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's why I am the way I am right now, you know?
Concussed.
It's not my fault. I was concussed.
You know, wear your helmet.
I'm suing Pop Warner. I know that.
Pop, if you're still in there, you're getting a letter in the mail from Neil's attorney.
So, number 9, I have the Louisville Cardinal.
Yeah.
Cardinals. I know we mentioned them earlier in comparison to Ball State. They do have a very good defense. I think it's one of the top defensive units in the nation. They have a sophomore quarterback at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's the Big East. I know that they got rid of West Virginia, so they don't have to worry about that headache anymore. But it's just such a watered-down conference that I can't see them pulling out wins against any kind of ranked teams, and that's going to hurt them. You need to have some kind of wins against ranked teams or decent teams in order to stay in that top 25, and I don't see it happening for Louisville.
Yep.
Number 8, and this might come as a surprise, but I have Florida. And, you know, when I was in college, I started off as a 7th string.
Yeah.
And I moved up to 3rd or 4th string, depending on who you asked. And we had a 2-quarterback rotation that ultimately turned into a 3-quarterback rotation. I think it was my sophomore year. So, and I don't agree with it. And I know I was trumpeting the Jets in like when they first got Tebow and said, oh, it can work, but I didn't see Tebow as a quarterback. I saw him as an offensive weapon, running back, halfback, tight end, whatever. I don't know that you can get, and you know, Spurrier used to do this with the Gators as well. He used to alternate quarterbacks when it was Werfel and they had the other guy, but I just don't think that you can get into a rhythm as an offense. I think alternating series doesn't work. Eventually, someone's going to win out. I mean, Tom Brady actually did it at Michigan. And he was clearly,
yeah,
you know, everyone wanted Chad Hansen to be this, like, this the savior, but Tom Brady was actually the guy who would bring them back and win games.
Florida did a little bit with Tebow and Chris Leak. Was it the guy's first
Chris
name?
Leak,
Chris Leak,
yeah.
And they would basically, Tebow was the Tebow now. Tebow
yeah.
would come in and run the
yeah.
QB sneaks and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the Jets could learn a thing from that offense.
Exactly. Remember how effective he was as a true freshman. Yeah.
So that's my number 8. Number 7, I have Stanford. Honestly, how can you lose someone like Andrew Luck and Kobe Fleener and really expect to compete? Especially
yeah.
in the Pac-12, when you have Oregon,
yeah.
you have USC that's now off probation. I honestly don't see Stanford competing and staying ranked. Number 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, I have Oklahoma State. Again, I like to emphasize and point out the key losses for a team. They lose
yeah.
Brandon Weeden. They lose Justin Blackmon. That was their offense last year. And they
yeah.
were in shootouts.
Yeah, yeah,
throughout
right.
the entire
Blackmon
season.
Was such a stud
such
college
a stud.
Wide receiver, yeah.
And I don't know that they have anyone to – I haven't heard anything where they
yeah.
have guys that can fill in and really give you anywhere near that kind of production. So I have Oklahoma State.
All right. I mean, I think their system could be good, but I hear
right,
it.
Right,
I hear it, yeah.
And who knows, they could be fun to watch. I just don't know they're going to win a lot of ball games.
Yep.
Next I have Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of there being shootings every other semester, I think, you know, basically they lost David Wilson. They lose Trayvon Taylor. They're losing guys that and their defense was never that great. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know that their offensive line is porous, and that they don't really have a lot of targets for the quarterback they have now. So I think they're gonna suffer as well. Next up, I have Texas.
Yep.
And there are Texas fans all over the nation, and you know, I'd be surprised if we don't get an angry phone call.
Screw Texas.
Really,
I got cousins in Texas. I love them to death.
Yeah.
I don't care if Texas people don't listen to our show.
I can't picture you with a Texas accent.
We got the Palmas down
yeah?
here. We got the Palmas. My Uncle Joe DePalma. My cousin Nick, my other cousin Joe, they must stick out like a sore thumb down in Fort Worth, but they're down there, just holding down the Northeast.
I feel like I would be walking through Texas and see someone like you with a lip ring, and I'd be like, oh, Mike, and they'd be like, no, man, I'm Joe. Joe DePalma.
Yeah, DePalma.
Just came from Rassam Steer.
No, my uncle went down there and said, I own this now.
I own Texas?
This is where I work. This is where I work now.
Yeah.
See this? I run this now. And now he runs Fort Worth.
Cool.
Good work, Uncle Joe.
But the knock on Texas is that they're a very young team, pretty decent defense, but you know, a lot of question marks on offense, and you know, you can only have so many three and outs before your defense gives, and I think that's where their problem lies. So where are we at? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. We have West Virginia.
I got the Voo in mine also.
West Virginia going to the Big 12, they're going to get smoked.
Big problem. When UConn wins the Big East a couple years ago and goes to the BCS Bowl, I love UConn to death. West Virginia's a great pick. They were when you said this suggestion and I looked at the rankings, I said, well, West Virginia's the clear one here. I love Geno. He's a great quarterback, put up great prolific numbers. Big East, it's a different thing. It's like jumping from the minors to the pros, man.
Yeah, and I don't see them. I mean, honestly, you might get better recruiting so that you have that going, but it's going to be a while before they can get their feet underneath them. Number 2, I have the Seminoles. Seminoles looked like they could be pretty good last year. I think they were ranked 5th at one point early on the season, and a lot of that was due to the fact that their defense was so solid. But it's the same issue with a lot of these other teams that have good defenses. You still need an offense to score points. You can only rely on your defense so much. So, I mean, honestly, I don't think the Seminoles will get hyped. They'll get a lot of primetime games.
They made mine as well.
And, you know,
people want Florida State to be good again
so bad.
That's exactly right. It's almost like how you said Notre Dame's always in the top 25.
Yeah.
People want them to be good. People want Florida State to be good so badly that they're like, this is their year.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Bobby Bowden's not there anymore.
No.
You know, he might be a consultant, but I do have to say, Florida State had the Pike House is really nice. I was in the Pike House.
Is that right?
Florida State, very nice. So shout out to the Pike guys.
Pike guys, man.
Florida State.
Love those Pike guys. We got along so well in college.
Yeah, right. I hit one with a potato. I just want everyone to know that.
Just pull out fist fights with the Pike guys. Keep going.
And then number 1, you know, I thought I'm going to pull a Skip Bayless on this one. You know, I'm gonna troll some people. I was going back and forth between two top ranked teams.
Yeah.
And I figured I'm going to go with this team because it just makes sense for me. And
you say USC, I'm going to just say we're going to cut the show short. We got a caller on hold, but I'm going to cut you short if you say USC.
All right, we'll see you next week, guys. I don't have USC. It was between LSU and Alabama, and I went with LSU.
Yeah.
They're just going to be awful to watch. Awful to watch.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to be ranked. They're not going to follow the rankings, but they're just going to be awful to watch. That one Alabama-LSU game where it was 9-6, I fell asleep three times.
Yeah, yeah. They got no Honey Badger, who was the only reason
Honey Badger's gone. They got Hurricane Isaac just messing, fouling up their whole practice.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's a good list, Neil. I'm going to roll through mine very quickly because I don't have, little fun facts about these teams. But we have some overlap there. I'm going to go down mine, as high as their rank, in reverse order. So, but I had Florida State. I think Michigan is ranked way too high.
Yeah,
they were all about, they got the fast little speedy. Darnell Robinson's a real speedy guy, and they felt the same thing. We're bringing, Michigan is back. Michigan's back.
Well, that was the thing. I was a Wolverines fan, or I am a Wolverines fan, so I think
so
that's
you
why
wouldn't
I left
do
them
it. Off. I think Michigan loses Ohio State this year.
Yeah.
Even though Ohio State's been down, I think it just spirals from there. I can see them finishing.
Well, especially if they lose Darnell Robinson to any kind of injury. They're done, so.
Yeah, so I got them in there. I think Arkansas being in the top 10, I mean, they got to still play. They got to play Alabama. They got to play some tough teams. They're going to finish with four losses, I think.
Yeah.
Three losses, I think, at least. And so for them to be top 10, I mean, we're talking about the list of top 25 teams that are going to fall off. I think they're in there. I have West Virginia in there. I have Clemson in there. Clemson opens up at Auburn. I mean, obviously, it's a big rivalry. So I just think, playing Auburn first week, you're going to take the wind out of your sails. You lose that game. And I know Clemson's supposed to be on the up, you know what I mean? And this is I think that they lose that game and then it spirals out of control from there with Clemson. I like Ohio State. I like Oklahoma State. The only other one I have on here that you don't have is Boise State.
Yep.
Boise State finally saying we're going to play a tough team early on. They're going to Michigan State week one. They lose that game, and then you start to realize that Boise State's kind of a fraud. I think they have to do what they have to do. They have to play a big-time game early on, go on the road and play a tough road game. I think Michigan State beats up on them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So it's a fun list. For all you guys that listen that are college football fans and know more about college football than us, please hit us up on the message board, on the Facebook page, whatever you want to do. But we're going to go over to a caller here. Now, our producer, Tony D, put an article up on our website. Got a couple comments. We got a couple comments offline about it. Slow pitch softball. I don't know about you in Jersey. Slow pitch softball here in Norwalk is a big deal.
Yeah.
Very, very big deal. We got teams. I used to play on a competitive team. We played national tournaments in Alabama, down in Baltimore, out in Vegas. Travel all around, sponsors, all this kind of stuff. But we got a couple teams in Norwalk now that are legit teams.
Yeah.
We've got the Wildcats and the Aces, and they guys that grew up together and been battling back and forth in Norwalk. Now they're both going out to the Nationals. We have, I don't know if he's called the captain of the Aces, but when you think of the Aces, you think of Tommy Kassuto.
He's the face of the franchise?
He's the face of the franchise of the Aces. He's got a tattoo with the Aces on his arm. We got Tommy Kassuto on the line. Tommy, you with us, brother?
Yeah, you got me?
I got you. First of all, did you win the Wood Bat game?
We lost by two.
Well, that's not a good. That's not a way I want to hear you going into the Nationals, brother.
Tony Capucci's guys beat us by two.
Yeah, Tony. You know what's funny? I played on Tony Capucci's team. He told me he wasn't getting a team this year, so that's pretty funny. Would I get cut from that team?
He's not out there this year, but they combined with the Buffin Fusos, and they got a pretty good squad. A lot of the guys from your team, you're with that team playing with them. Kevin Remsen, Doug Lachek, a few guys like that. So they beat us by two. It was a good game.
All right. Well, Tommy, let's talk about your team, the Aces. You guys were a young team in Norwalk, did very well. Obviously, over the last couple of years, you've really solidified yourselves as one of the top two, if not the top team in Norwalk. Now you're going out to the Nationals. What kind of success have you had in the national tournament recently? I know you guys go down and play in Ocean City and all that. So tell me, what's the best run you guys have gone on?
Well, this is our second time going to the Nationals. We went in 2010. We qualified last year, but we couldn't get the commitment. It's tough to get, a group of guys, 10, 11, 12 guys, to take a weekend off with families and all the other work and stuff like that. So we didn't go last year, but we did go in 2010, and we went out to Ohio, and we went 4-2. A lot of good competition out there, and we ended up winning our first game. We lost our second game by one run to a team that ended up finishing in the top 10. And then we strung off a few run rules and got hot on Saturday. And then after a 31-30 victory, I think we lost a little steam after that and lost to a team who I don't think they've ever made an out.
You get some of those teams, man. And, you know, you and I were talking earlier offline about, you know, getting to these tournaments. And I played in a couple of these and, you know, we went away with some of the – when I was playing on Tony Capuzzi's team, some of the best group of players I've ever played with, you know what I mean? And it's all about getting hot at the right time, making plays, but just sometimes you run into these teams and literally –
you can't get them out.
You cannot get them out. I mean, they'll put up 20 in an inning, like line drive. You're not even making errors. And, I mean, obviously you're throwing the ball underhand, but it's like it is what it is. And so it's all about getting hot. And you play so many games in a day, Tommy, that it's like – when you get hot, you just want to play again. You just want to play again. So sometimes it stinks to win your first game and sit around. You know what I mean? So talk a little about that. What kind of draw you guys got? Tell me a little bit about the format. I mean, you're going to play first thing in the morning and just rattle off a couple games that day?
Well, this year, for some reason, there's only 52 teams. When we went out to Ohio in 2010, there was 120.
Oh, wow.
120, and you had to basically – survive Friday night to even make it to Saturday. And this year, for some reason, there's, you know, 52 teams, and they got 40 teams playing a first round of eight. I think it was a blind draw, and I believe 12 teams got byes, and we're starting the tournament on Saturday morning. So everybody that's playing in this tournament is starting on Saturday at 8 a.m. or 9:30. So, I mean, you know, a lot of it, you know, we're talking a little bit, Mike, you know, a lot of it also is, you know, there's a lot of things to do at night on Friday when you're out there. And, you know, some guys, you know, you never know which teams are going to come with, the discipline. And for the most part, we already talked to our guys and told them, look, you know, we're out here. It's obviously a vacation. But, you know, Friday night, let's get a little dinner. Let's keep it cool in the hotel, get a good night's sleep. And, you know, again, you got to come out there and you got to start off hot. You can't just lose your first game at 8 o'clock in the morning and expect to, you know, to make any noise in this type of tournament.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Now, what I like about your team, and you can confirm it, I think the Wildcats are the same way. A lot of these tournament teams, you know, you play on your regular weekly night, and then when you go away on a tournament, you start picking up guys and cherry picking other teams. Your team seems to be like you're going out there with the team you play with on Friday nights. Is that about right?
Yeah, we went out there in 2010 with our team, and that was something that, you know, that I value. And the Wildcats are pretty similar. They actually they're a little bit different than us in the sense that they have about four guys that are considered Wildcats but weren't on their Friday night team until this year when, you know, they opened up the league, Stanford guys. But basically the guys, like, and you know them, the Chris Halls and the Johnny Santa Rosa, those guys, you know, were considered Wildcats but just not on their roster. With our team – this year, you know, we picked up a few guys to play on our roster on Friday nights, but, you know, a lot of commitment issues still. We have both the Gamble brothers who they're big parts of our team, and they, you know, they have to teach or they have this or they have that. So we actually picked up one key guy in the infield and one key guy in the outfield that played with us. And, I mean, if you played in a few tournaments with us yourself, so you know that, you know, when you come, you're considered part of the team. You might not play with us on Friday, but that's what we're kind of trying to keep it. You know, guys we're familiar with, guys that we play with. You know, you guys know from playing ball, whether it be slow pitch or hardball or football or basketball. A lot of it has to also do with chemistry, not just, you know, a guy who can bat 700 and hit the ball out for you, you know?
No, I hear you. I think that's a big deal. Now, you mentioned the Tagano brothers. Now, I got to ask you a serious question. Now, my former co-host, Osama Abdelwahab, married into the Tagano family. Now, how come O didn't get the call to go out west with you guys? I don't understand the problem. The guy hits the ball over the field. The guy's 6'10", 400 pounds. He's like a house.
You know, he's been MIA ever since whatever he's got going on. I haven't heard from him.
He doesn't even know our show anymore, Tommy.
That's what happens, man. You get married, you have a kid, and it's all that you got to retire after that.
Sometimes you got to let the hen know who the rooster is. You know what I mean, Tommy?
Well, Cody, we know somebody like that, don't we?
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! We do, buddy.
So
Big O's got a spot anytime he wants to come out. You know, he knows that. And you know, how's O'Neal doing this year, by the way? Is he playing at all, or is he, what's he doing?
How's O doing?
Yeah, how's O doing? Is he playing this year, or
Yeah, he's on the O'Neal's roster. I don't know how much he plays. O'Neal's is doing pretty well on Tuesday nights. I don't know that he's really playing a lot. You know, he's got a lot on his plate. Whoever knows what O does. He jet sets around the country. He doesn't even have time for us.
He's too busy hobnobbing.
He really is. He's a hobnobber is what he is. But when he gets in there, I'll tell you what, man. He hits. A guy, you know, when I played with him in college, third time all-time conference history, Smooth at first base. If you need a bat, dude, you want to go pick up Big Smooth.
I'm all for it.
All right, so talk to me a little bit about some of the guys. You mentioned the Gano brothers. I know you got Dave Z, who rips. You got a cannon in the outfield. You got you, your brother. Now, your brother was the one that had the big home run last year in the Clicking for Cassie tournament. Was that your brother?
Yeah, he hit a walk off in the finals in the bottom of the seventh against that Can-Man team with, you know, a lot of your old teammates were on that team. So you know what kind of game that was, back and forth. You know, bat on back and forth. Yeah, he played shortstop for us. We have Dave Z in the outfield. We have Nate Sumter in our outfield. Fast, you know, good hitter. We have, for the past couple of years, Doug Roman, a guy that we played ball against in high school football and baseball.
Yeah, I still got a bone to pick with him for torching us in the Staples McMahon game in 98.
Doug Roman is one of the best athletes to come out of Fairfield County of our class. I mean, I played hardball with him, summer ball with him. Football-wise, he could have gone and played. I mean, he wound up playing some minor league baseball, but he could have gone and played big-time college football.
Yeah.
He was fast. Guy was just a ridiculous athlete, man. So that's a great pickup for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? He played ball with me at UNH, and, you know, he's from Westport. He lived in North for a long time, and he was looking to pick up. And I told him, listen, you know, I know how competitive you are. He was playing a few wood bat leagues in Westport, and you know how that goes. I said, you know, you want to come and you want to commit to our team. I said, you know, you'll see what it's all about. And he's really, you know, he obviously bats third for us. He probably bats 9,000. You know, he doesn't make it out.
No.
Every ball in the gap is caught. So he's been a big part of our, you know, of our success. But he's also been, you know, a key guy as far as just the, you know, the camaraderie in the team. And, you know, he's got a very a dry sense of humor. If you know, you got to really get to know the guy and understand him. He's definitely one of those Westport kids, we call them, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Now, can we talk about your pitcher for a minute here? Now, I'm looking at the email you sent me, and it said, you know, WWE next to his name, and I'm like, what the hell does that mean? So I Google him. You got a former wrestler pitching?
Yeah, and we use that to our advantage, Tone. He's a former Main Street Posse member. He was in the WWE when it was WWF. He wrestled in the late 90s in the Attitude Era. He was basically a jobber. He would walk down to the ring. He would get his head kicked in for about 5 minutes, and that'd be about it. He graduated high school with Shane McMahon, and they had this idea back in the late 90s that they were going to come out and call themselves the Mean Street Posse from the Mean Streets of Greenwich.
Unbelievable.
Well, there are some Mean Streets in Greenwich. You go down to Arch Street at night, forget about it.
I'm scared. I'm very scared when I go to Greenwich at night. Now, this guy is about 6'4". Weighs about 300 pounds, and he can hit the ball.
And these pictures, he's like a beast.
Oh, he makes me look small, and I don't like taking pictures next to him. But whenever we take a team photo, he's on the opposite end, because I don't want to stand next to the guy. But actually, a funny story, guys. In Ohio 2 years ago, we're warming up for a game, and I see Pete talking to the whole other team. So about 5 minutes goes by. And, you know, we bring it in and we do the coin toss. And somewhere around the first or second inning, when I get a second to, you know, gather my thoughts and talk to him a little bit on the side, I said, what were those guys talking to you about? And he goes, they were just, you know, looking for autographs and they recognized me from the old days. So teams, and he's 300 pounds, all right? He's not fielding in the middle like some of these guys, you know, that you see out there that are snagging line drives. So we take that with a grain of salt because teams are actually – scared to hit middle on him because they think they're going to get put in like some kind of pile driver after the game.
I would be scared too, dude.
Hit with the gas face.
Yeah, the gas mask. That's what it was called.
Well, you tell Pete Gas. We had Leap and Lanny Poffel on a few months back. We'd love to have Pete Gas on. Talk a little Aces softball and a little WWF. He's welcome to call in any time, my man.
Yeah, I'll tell him to call you in. He's actually one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet.
I don't know him. I don't think he played when I don't remember him looking at pictures of him. I don't remember him playing against him. But, you know, I haven't played Friday night.
We were in high school, Mike. We were in high school, so I don't think we were really watching wrestling too much. I think we were kind of out of that, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
You know, but if you guys want to see something funny, Tony, you can pull it up in probably about 2 seconds. If you YouTube WB Mason, I can find it for you guys right now, but he works for WB Mason.
Yep.
And he actually, they did a commercial, a nationwide commercial to gain some sort of, it was some sort of prize-themed company commercial. And what they did for their WB commercial, for the Mason commercial, was place in a call to Pete Gass. And the theme of the commercial was, you know, he was, you know, he's a former wrestler, and he wasn't into it anymore, but he actually, you know, when they call him, he's in his wrestling gear. He's playing with the old wrestling figures, you know, the old wrestling figures they used to have.
Yeah, yeah. Do I remember him? I still got him in my room.
Exactly. And he comes out of the woodworks and he starts clotheslining his bosses. He's literally clotheslining his bosses in this commercial. It's hysterical. It's called, if you YouTube WB Mason Rough Draft, you guys will get a good laugh out of that.
I gotta check it out. All right, well, Tommy, I mean, except you're going out there with another team from Norwalk. It's pretty rare. You know, I play in a lot of tournaments. You get people from all over. You're going to be there. I mean, chances are you won't play against the Wildcats, but you'll be watching them. And I know you're close with a lot of those guys. You know, it's a rivalry, but it's a fun rivalry. So, you know, whoever goes further is clearly going to be, like, you know, have some bragging rights in Norwalk. But I'm sure, win or lose, you're going to be pulling for those Wildcat guys. I mean, you guys going out together, staying together, what kind of, I mean, is there going to be like a lot of off-the-field stuff between the two of you, or are you just completely separate?
Well, basically what happens, Mike, is, you know, we go out with two different teams, but it's basically one big team, you know, and I don't think they were able to book the same hotel room as us this year, but we definitely stayed in the same hotel room 2 years ago, and we have a blast. I mean, when we go out, we meet with them, when we do dinners, and we go out to some of these spots, you know, in downtown Columbus. It's all together, and when we're at the fields, we definitely, you know, even if it's a text message to Don, you know, what field are you guys at? You know, like you said before, there could be a three-hour wait. We're not going to watch some random team from Vermont play, some random team from Massachusetts. We're going to go over there, and we're going to root them on, and they do the same for us. I mean, you know, a lot of guys on their team, the, you know, the Smith brothers, Don, Chris, Drew, Joey, they got, you know, Al Shore, who's a guy who played baseball at McMahon. They got Chris Hall. They have 17
on the team. Everybody on the team is a Smith brother.
Yeah, they're like the Killer Bees of softball. You know, if they need a, you know, if Joey's slumping, they put the mask on and they put Donnie up, you know, in his spot. You know,
that's it, dude. They put Fats up there and he just rakes the ball on the left side.
Forget about it.
Well, Tommy, I really appreciate you coming on. We're going to be pulling for you. We're going to, you know, let us know how you guys are doing. We're going to keep posting it on our Tri-State page because, you know, we like to follow Norwalk stuff, so we're real proud of you. So, you know, hit some home runs, dude. From what I've heard from scouts, all you are is home run or nothing, Tommy. So I want to see some singles out of you, dude.
I'm working on my six-hole swing as we speak. I had a couple tonight that went back in trying to keep the ball down and hard, Mike.
My man, what's the limit in it? Is it one? Is it one progressive? Three? What do we got limit home run wise?
Well, there's two, and D, they changed the rule from three to two. So you got to hit them wisely, and if you don't, and if you hit a home run after your second, it's an out. So that plays, you know, that can play a role too. You know, you get bases loaded, two outs, teams out of home runs, the guy hits the ball 455 feet, and guess what? You're going out in the field.
Yeah. That's a 30-pack in my book. You hit a home run for now, that's a 30-pack, dude. And I'm sure it'll be that's cheap. Where is this tournament taking place?
It's Columbus, Ohio. It's right in the downtown area. It's a very nice area. It's comparable to Norwalk. They have a Sono type area. They have a lot of different geographically, you know, it's very similar, you know, with Norwalk or you know, somewhere in the Fairfield County. It's not like going down to Roanoke, Virginia, and,
yeah,
you know, not having anything, you know, with, you know, you might run out of gas if you don't stop at this gas station down there, you know?
I played a tournament in Dothan, Alabama. This is a true story I'm going to tell real quick. Dothan, Alabama, we go to this bar. It's me, Darren Opper, Eddie Marini, a couple of guineas from Connecticut. Go down there. We stay to this beautiful waitress down there. Nice on the next thing. Is there any other bars in town? And she said, yeah. You just go down the road. You're going to walk past the Black Bar. And then two blocks down is another bar. And we didn't know what she was talking about. She meant a black bar, like a bar for black people. This was in 2008, dude. There was a bar, and that happened in 2008 in this town. I was like, what?
You thought they said Black Bear, and they said the Black Bar.
No, it's like there's a black people bar. This happened on Earth. I was like, I didn't know this place still existed. It's 2008. We're looking at each other like, what are we doing? Well, we stuck out for, you know, you're with Eddie Marini. You're going to stick out anyway, but we're down there. I mean, we just stuck out. I mean, we would have been more comfortable in the black bar, to be honest with you, than the bar with the mechanical bull. All right, well, Tommy, man, I appreciate you calling in. Good luck with everything. Get a good night's sleep. I'm sure you're flying out tomorrow. We'll be rooting for you, pal. Keep us updated, all right?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'll keep you guys posted.
All right, brother. All right, be good.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, that's Tommy Cassuto, captain of the Aces Club out of Norwalk. You were a little quiet there, Neil. I mean, are you not enthralled by the Norwalk softball talk? It's a big deal around here.
No, I know.
That's why I made my bones in this town.
It's called being in awe.
You were just in utter awe of the Norwalk softball talk. Well, let's get to our 5 and 10 now. Now, we're clearly off. We're not live anymore, but we're recording, which I like. And so we're going to...
This is when the cursing starts.
And now, I mean, I know I let my GD slip a little earlier, but now we could really, you know, let our hair down and talk about some 5 and 10. Now, I want to start quickly with, we touched briefly on the Mets earlier. What are your thoughts for what they should do in the offseason? You have all these crazy ideas from callers into the fan, callers ESPN radio, who they should get. People are talking about Hamilton. I don't think Hamilton, obviously they don't have the money to pay Hamilton, and I don't know that they'd...
Who said that?
I mean, at least a half dozen people in the last 3 days have called into the fan.
Daryl Hamilton?
This is our friend Josh Hamilton. They want to get him. They want to spend $200 million on a guy who can't even go out in Dallas without getting drunk. Now, he's going to go into New York City. Because there's no...
The best way to conquer a vice is to shove it directly in your face.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
It's worked out great for Josh. I don't think he's a real good option. I think a realistic option, though, and I'm going to give you two things, and the second one is kind of an open-ended one, but I think they should go out and spend some money on B.J. Upton. I don't think B.J. Upton's going to be a crazy amount of money. I think that, you know, he doesn't have a great average. I don't think you're going to need to spend crazy Carl Crawford money. I mean, I think you could get him for 4 years and 60, probably less than that maybe, 4 years and 50, for a guy who could, in that ballpark, hit 10 triples, hit 20 home runs, you know.
Anything's upgrade over what we have.
And be a very good defensive outfielder. You know, obviously grew up with David Wright, might help David Wright stay here. I think the second thing they need to do is re-sign David Wright over the offseason. But I really think, and my opinion on this has changed over the course of the season, I think they should look to trade R.A. Dickey in the offseason. I think he's got one very affordable year left on his deal, so he's very attractive to people. It's not like they're buying him. They're buying him for 1 year, but it's a cheap year. He's in, you know, he's this like hot commodity guy, could win 20 games for a terrible team. At minimum, he's going to win 17 or 18 games. I think you can get value back for him. I honestly think, and I don't like to just throw out crazy trades, but I think a realistic trade is if you get R.A. Dickey. I think that the Red Sox would like R.A. Dickey. You know, the Red Sox fans have embraced knuckleballers. I think they could use a pitcher, obviously. You try to get back a Cody Ross.
You think that dude's going to mesh with Bobby V?
Bobby V's not going to be there next year.
All right.
I don't think Bobby V will be there next year.
A lot of people are shocked that he's still here now.
I don't think he'll be there. And I think you can get back. And you know, I don't think a trade straight up R.A. Dickey for Cody Ross would appease the Met fans. But if you can get something else back or... possibly you can get them to eat half of Jason Bay's contract. Got $16 million left one season. You say, we'll eat eight. You pay eight. You're going to get Jason Bay back. That gives him a bat. He did very well in Boston. There's a possibility that could happen. I just think that R.A. Dickey is a tradable asset that they can get value back for.
Who are you asking for, though?
Cody Ross.
From Boston, Cody Ross?
I think Cody Ross would be – they need just professional major league outfielders who have played – I mean, Cody
that
Ross –
have received professional training.
I think Cody
– certification.
I think Cody Ross for the New York Mets could hit 275, could hit 35 doubles, 15 home runs, driving 75 runs. Like, be a productive outfielder. Like, they don't have those guys. if possible, to get rid of, you know, I just think that's a bit, I mean, they're not going to win next year. And they have all, you know, they have these pitchers that we've been talking about. And so if you're stuck with Johan next year. You obviously got Harvey, you got Nice, they got Dylan G. They can now, you know, eventually.
I think Hefner's a decent guy.
Hefner,
to throw in
the
there.
Guy, you know, McHugh. And then at some point next year, you hope to see Wheeler. You know, I know they don't want to start him out of the season, but at some point you want to see Wheeler. So it's not like you envision the mess that they've even thought about 2014. You really need R.A. Dickey there. So why not get Cody Ross and a prospect back? And I think that it makes sense. Money-wise, it's kind of a wash. I think it kind of makes sense for the Mets. Would you? So tell me your vision for what the Mets need to do in the offseason.
I just think Dickey is such a great story, and he's the one guy that's been keeping a lot of people tuned in.
I
just can't see them dealing with one guy that has been such a huge success story for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like you have a lot of fans that are on the R.A. Dickey bandwagon, and they see him. I mean, there are people saying, like, oh, 10 years down the line, this guy's going to be pitching for
I've heard that, too. But when what has he done in the second half of this year? Not been great. I mean, he hasn't been
terrible. Not been great, but he also hasn't absolutely pooped the bed either.
But he
could be. He still has a shot at 20 wins.
Right.
Which they haven't had since Frank frickin' Viola in 1990.
Yeah.
Who's got a daughter that I've been willing to call, but I've been busy.
He's been busy. Right after Misty May. I just think it's a possibility. Now, do you like the possibility of going out and getting BJ? And you have to admit, they have to. My original thing is they should go out and get Joe Mauer. That's how aggressive I thought they should be. Joe Mauer's a guy, clearly, they put him on waivers.
His catching days are over, though, right?
No, he's still catching all the time. I mean, he catches a lot.
They were talking about moving him to first, though, didn't they?
Well, I mean, they still move him to first on Sundays and day games and stuff like that. But the guy's leading the American League in on base percentage. You know, I think he's still a very good defensive catcher. So even if you caught him 100 games and played him at first base,
you're going to tell me you're going to supplant Kelly Shopik with Joe Mauer?
Yeah. So you know,
that's ridiculous.
You're right. I forgot about Kelly Shopik.
The guy has been a lightning bolt.
The guy hit a home run once for the Mets. So what do you think they should do? I mean, what are your ideas for them in the offseason?
Yeah, you're right. They definitely need an upgraded catcher. I think they need someone in the outfield.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, it's just who can give us average numbers?
And I
think
that's BJ Upton.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they're not crazy, I don't think that there's this market where the people are going to overpay for him crazily, like the old Jason Bayer or Carl Crawford. I mean, the guy's 30, 31. Give him 4 years, give him $12 million a year. And I think that's a solid signing. I mean, the guy's clearly, I mean, he's a good ball player.
Yeah.
Good outfielder.
Yeah.
Everyday guy. I would like him. So, all right, let's move over quickly to Hard Knocks. Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
I didn't. I was preparing for the show.
All I'm going to tell you, they lost again. They're 0-3, whatever, in the preseason. But the highlight of the show, so Matt Moore, I've told you, is slowly becoming one of my favorite players in the NFL.
I see a little bit of Mike DePalma in Matt Moore.
Matt Moore. Yeah, I think Matt Moore sees a little Mike DePalma in him.
Yeah.
Is what you want to say. So Matt Moore, they're in the room waiting for the quarterback coach to come in for their little quarterback meeting. And I don't know how it came up because it's kind of cut to the scene, but he asked Ryan Tannehill if he knew what division the different teams are in. He goes, I don't know any of the divisions. He doesn't know who are the Kansas City Chiefs? What division are the Kansas City Chiefs in? And he goes,
Moore just asked this out of the blue?
Yeah. He goes, Kansas City Chiefs. He goes, NFC East. And then he goes, well, I get confused because, I mean, we're in the AFC East, but we're all the way down south. Miami's still on the East Coast, my man. It was this, and Matt Moore kept looking at the camera. There's like that hidden camera. He kept looking like, this guy beat me out for a job. He is dumb as rock. And it was so funny. He goes, who's in the NFC North? And they're talking about teams. And he was just completely lost. I forgot who he said. He said an East Coast team in the NFC North, and he was just bawling. It was just the two of him in this room. So I think it was like Tannehill forgot there was a camera on him.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't – he should have just said, I don't know him, and not answered the question. He goes, I don't know. I watched college football growing up. How do you join the team? You don't even know who your rivals are. It was pretty – it was the highlight of maybe any Hard Knocks ever, in my opinion. But he didn't get any burn today on anything. This week, and we talked a little college football, Navy Notre Dame. You getting up for 9 o'clock kickoff?
I might.
I'm getting up for it.
I'm yeah.
I have a wedding on Saturday that I'm going to in the afternoon. I'll be up. I mean, I'll be up anyway with my daughter, but I'll be up watching that game 9 o'clock in Ireland. They're bringing 35,000 fans over from America.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
fans.
It's a great. That's
awesome.
Yeah.
They're going to be broadcasting it on the, you know, all the military networks.
I made a, maybe. When I was writing for co-ed, I suggested like 10 to 20 games that they should really consider playing at these cool venues. You know, just like just ridiculous venues that, you know, they're, you know, you don't have to, you do it every week, once a week.
Yeah.
Ratings, my man, ratings gold.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. Especially 10 in the morning.
That's what I was thinking. We should do the next show.
Where?
Lake Michigan.
You're right.
On the lake.
And we'll just sing that Kid Rock song over and over.
Bud with the bud again.
And just D-Rock City all
I'm
the time.
I'm a cowboy.
Just maybe some Sheryl Crow. That's what, Tony comes in. All right, last one. Billy Hamilton. Best stolen base guy.
Stop stealing bases.
Would you call him up? The Cincinnati Reds clearly kind of have their division locked up. You know, they're up like six games or whatever they are over Pittsburgh, and the Cardinals are kind of battling out there. Would you call? I mean, he'll be an asset just to pinch run.
Yeah.
Guy stole 105 bases.
Yeah, 146, and I'm baffled that he's not.
And when he steps on the field, it's just like lightning. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it will be that kind of energy.
Yeah.
It'll be like, you know, Aroldis Chapman throws 103.
Yeah,
they have, we have the guy that throws harder than anyone in the history of the world, and we have the fastest person on earth.
I would love to see that.
They have to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's right.
It's a pay-per-view event.
Yeah, and he's like in A-ball or whatever he's in, but they got to call him up. He'll never get an at-bat. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We don't need you to do anything.
They might cut off his arms so they get some more.
Well, I know it was a good show. We got to a lot of things, college football, slow pitch softball, which you like. A lot
love
of
it.
Junk talk, which
love
you really
it.
Like.
Love it.
We talked. We got to talk about Pete Gass, who we got to have on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
After we see the pictures of him. The mean streets of Greenwich. I love every minute of it. Neil,
I can take a chair to his head. That's okay.
The segues were great.
Thank you.
Started slow, but they got really good. Next week, I want a good opening monologue from you.
All right.
All right. We're the Tri-State Sports Guys. Check us out next Wednesday. I will not be here next Wednesday. It's going to be Neil running the show.
Oh, boy.
So I like to hear nothing but great segues and openings, my man. Well, Tri-State Sports Guys, we'll see you next week.